Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and praise the Lord that we have an opportunity to come out from the world in the midweek and to be right in God's house. It's just a tremendous blessing to have church and to have that kind of singing at church and just the encouragement that it is. It's just wonderful to be here. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I think we all the staff guys get some nerves standing in this place more than preaching in other places because we know who usually stands here and the expectation for God's word to be delivered. And I believe that's what we have tonight. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you'd stand with me as we read the word of God. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house. I thank you for all these that have come and no doubt had long days at work. And Wednesday is always the toughest night to get to church. But God, it's always worth it once we get here. And God, I pray that you'll be with everyone. We thank you for the music that has blessed our hearts and spoken to us and ministered to us. And now I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we open your word to that I would rightly divide it, that I would be able to clearly present what it has to say, and that everyone here would receive it and apply it to their lives. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been said by a few people that have talked to me anytime I've stood before the entire church, and it's also been said of Brother Aaron that we like to mention sports a lot in our illustrations. And I guess it just has to do with the fact you typically... I mean, it's me preaching, so I know what I know. So that's what I'm talk what I talk about. And so I just wanted to talk about the fact that a couple weeks we have March Madness coming up. We got the exciting basketball tournament going to happen. And for those of us that are Indiana fans, it's not going to be that exciting this year. And there's not going to be much to watch. But for a lot of reasons, that March Madness is an exciting time. It's a basketball time. It's typically where the one who has the best bracket is some lady who couldn't even identify most of the teams. But it's just a fun thing to kind of predict and project who's going to win the championship from the 68 down to 64 teams. And the reason that they have the madness part, the reason they call it March Madness, is because of the upsets, that are taking place. And the upsets, you know, it's typically if you have a 12 versus a 5, there's a couple of those going to happen every year. 10s usually beat 7s. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But if you look at the seeding, there's usually some big upsets that are going to take place. Some little bitty school is going to come and it's going to beat Kansas or going to beat Duke or going to have some kind of crazy upset. And there's going to be on a buzzer beater. And that's the exciting part because they play so many games, it's going to happen. There's just so many games that are taking place, it's going to take place. And one of the major factors in why a 13 can beat a 4, why a 15 can even beat a 2, a 16's never beat a 1, just a little trivia for you there, but a 15 has beaten a 2 several times. That means the person that's the 2 seed is like a top 8 team in the country, and they get beat by some little barely made the field team. The reason this happens is that college young men tend to underestimate their opponents. They tend to think, oh, I got this, it's all right, I'm looking ahead, who we got next round? And, you know, we don't even have to worry about Morehead State, we don't even have to worry about Furman beat Kansas a couple years back, we can just overlook them, and it doesn't matter who they are, every 18 to 22-year-old, they all act the same. They're all like, all right, we got them, we're going to take them, we don't even have to practice that hard, we're good, we got this team. They underestimate their opponent. Even in spite of their warnings, you know, their coach is saying, all right, boys, we got this one game at a time. It's a one-game tournament. They might go down. I mean, they've got some hot shooters. We need to look at these keys. We need to look at these points. This is the guy we need to make sure he doesn't get open. And they're like, yeah, whatever, coach. We got this. We're two. We're mighty number two, and they're number 15. We got them. We don't even have to think about it. So in spite of the warnings from their coach, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be upsets. There's going to be teams that are higher ranked, they have a better ranking, are going to get upset by those 13s and 14s because they're going to overlook their opponent. They're going to overlook who they're going against. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, this is something that is far more important than a basketball game, far more important than sports, and that's the spiritual battle that takes place every day. And the spiritual battle that takes place in our lives, and the Apostle Paul, he compares it to a battlefield, a blood fighting to the death battlefield. And he says this in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. He's saying you have to be prepared. You have to understand that you're going out in a battle every single day. You're going to fight every single day. And we as Christians have to have in our minds that we're going to fight. We're going into a battle. We have someone that we have to fight every single day. And if we don't prepare ourselves every morning, if we don't have the mindset every morning before we walk out the door that I'm going into the battlefield, if we don't have the mindset when we walk out of this church building, oh, that's the battlefield out there. And there's battles taking place. I need to prepare myself. I need to get ready. I need to have my armor on, as Paul tells us. Then we're going to have a very difficult time fighting the battle. You know, if you don't realize you're in a battle, you're not going to be fighting in a battle. You're just not going to even think about it. You're going to go throughout your day. You're going to do what you do. But Paul is trying to warn us, you got to get ready. It's a battle. It's a very real battle. And in verse 12, he wants us to understand that we cannot underestimate our opponent. We cannot underestimate. It's more than an opponent. Because in a basketball game, at the end of the day, you walk across a line and you shake hands and you know you give them some love. You're happy to talk to them and you're friends afterwards. I mean, you're going back and forth in the game. You want to win the game. But once the game is over, you say, oh, we're okay. We're friends. We don't really hate each other. But we're not going against an opponent. We're going against an enemy. We have an enemy that we're facing. We have someone whose mission is to destroy us. And his mission is, first of all, to get us to reject Jesus Christ, to think we have some other way of salvation, to think that our works can get us to heaven. That's the first thing he can do. He tries to do. But then after that, he tries to destroy our testimony, tries to make us useless for the cause of Christ, tries to not... have us fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. That's what Satan tries to do. He is a very real enemy. Verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what I want you guys to understand, what I want us as Christians to understand, is as we prepare for the daily battle, a proper view of your enemy is necessary. Before you go out and go in that daily battle, before you go out to fight what spiritual warfare is taking place, we have to have a proper view. We have to have a proper understanding of who our enemy is. We have to know who our enemy is. First of all, we see who our enemy is not. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I don't know if it's still true today, but when I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College, we had some regular guys' activities. And one thing that the guys liked to do when they were in the dorm is wrestle each other. They thought it was all cool, and I'm the man, I'm going to show everybody. I didn't engage in much of that nonsense because I was just, I guess, smarter than that or something like that. I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't think I was all big and bad. I was good. I didn't have to just go out and wrestle somebody. But there's a lot of times where they were wrestling back and forth. Well, finally, they got me into a place, third or fourth year of college, I don't remember. But there was this guy who was about my size, and this is actually the first time in my entire life I actually wrestled. I had never wrestled before. I played a little peewee football, but never got into wrestling. You got to be a little peculiar to wrestle, but I don't know who's in this. Brother Rusty wrestled, for those of you who don't know. But that wasn't my thing. I wasn't a big wrestler. It wasn't really my kind of forte, my kind of thing. And I had never wrestled before in my entire life. And what I learned from wrestling this guy is, I don't know if he'd wrestled before, but honestly, he beat me pretty good. I mean, I was terrible. I mean, he was about my size, and I just kind of always used my size as an advantage in life. And as I wrestled this guy, and we were going at it and trying to grab each other's legs, and you know how it goes. You get there, and you're kind of going at him and trying to get him and take him down. I went at him, and honestly, I mean, we got engaged, and we were back and forth, and we were going at it. But honestly, after 5 minutes, I was dead tired. I mean, that's something, for those of you that wrestle, I do respect you, Brother Rusty, for wrestling, because that is something that wears you out like none other. I mean, if you've ever wrestled before, if you know anything about wrestling, it can just, oh, it's just, man, it's everything, and it's just nonstop. There's no timeouts. There's no jogging back to the other side of the court, or just 5 minutes after the ball snapped in football, you got another, all right, take a play off. But no, in wrestling, it's nonstop, and you go at it. And wrestling, I dare say, probably exerts the most energy out of most sports that you do. Wrestling is intense. Wrestling is nonstop. Wrestling will wear you out the most. And I believe the Apostle Paul used that for a very good reason. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Do we understand tonight that it takes a lot of energy to wrestle? It takes a lot of effort to wrestle. And if we're wrestling, if we're fighting against flesh and blood, we're wasting our energy. We're wasting our time. We're wrestling against that which is not our enemy. Satan is distracting us. Satan is using that to waste our efforts when we wrestle the wrong thing. Wrestling takes possibly the most energy. Paul is saying, don't waste all your energy battling what is not your true enemy. In verse 1 through 9 of this chapter, Ephesians, of course, I'm sure if I pulled up any fourth grade or fifth grade girl over here that could quote me Ephesians 6:1, because it's a very familiar verse. But all through Ephesians 6, we're talking about relationships with other people, our relationships between children and parents and fathers and their children, and the employee-employer relationship, and all these things. And then the Apostle Paul talks about spiritual leadership, spiritual battles and spiritual warfare. And he's saying all these people in verses 1 through 9, none of those people are your enemy. None of those people are who you're supposed to battle. Young people, your parents are not your enemy. It's not flesh and blood. That's not who your enemy is. We understand that the parents, your children, are not your enemy. Husbands, your wife is not the enemy. Employer, your employees, an employee, your employer. Nobody that is in flesh and blood is our enemy. It doesn't matter how bad of a neighbor they are and how annoying they are next door. They're not your enemy. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have with a person. That is just someone that Satan is using. Satan is taking advantage of. But the person, the flesh and blood, like it's said many times, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Because no one is our enemy. No flesh and blood is our enemy. So when we understand that the battle is not a physical one, but it's a spiritual one, Paul then goes into describing that spiritual battle. He says, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Principalities is to understand that they're our enemy. This is who he is. This is what he does. Principality has to do with the fact that it's a structured enemy, that he has structure, that it's not just a bunch of rogue vigilantes doing whatever. It's not just a bunch of fallen angels that are doing their own thing. They are very structured. They are very organized. They get their marching orders from the devil himself. And all the one-third of the angels that the Bible tells us that have fallen, the devil is controlling them and he's instructing them. And it's very, if you want to think of it this way, I thought of it this way, of kind of like the old footage of Nazi soldiers in Germany, and how that structured they were, and how they would march all in line, and how they would be all together, or the Soviet soldiers in Russia, and they were organized, and they were structured, and they were together. So there's a structure to it. Organized army. Satan is their leader, a large group marching together with evil. So it's not just some rogue guys over here doing their thing and some demons over here doing their thing. It's very structured. That's what principalities has to do with. And powers, power. Satan's a powerful being. The devil is very powerful. He's far more powerful than we are. We see an example of this in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you turn there with me. Mark chapter 9, verse 18. This is Jesus doing miracles, and this was a spirit that the apostles, they themselves had not the ability to cast out. And there's a very good lesson there, but that's not what we're talking about. Verse 18, the Bible says, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." So we see the power that this demon has over this young man. We see the destruction that this young man is going through, the physical destruction in his life, the fact that he is taken, and this demon forces him to throw himself in the fire, and he burns himself, and he throws him in the water all the way until he almost drowns, and then he pulls him out of that. I think of it kind of like a marionette taking, and he's doing whatever he wants. He's taking him, and he's moving him however he wants. This demon has so much power over him. He throws him on the ground, and as he's laying on the ground, he's in some kind of a seizure, and he has foaming of the mouth, and the demon has that much control of him. That's how much power the devil has. That's how much power these demons have over those who are controlled by them. But praise the Lord, as a believer, we cannot be possessed by demons. We cannot be indwelled by a demon because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, and he has sealed us until the day of redemption. So we cannot have that demon come in and possess us. But those same type of demons can oppress us. They can bring terrible things upon us, and they can distract us, and they can make our lives miserable, and they can use other people around us. Cannot possess us, but oppress us. We see the power of those devils, the power that the devil has. And this young man, he had absolutely no control. And compared to the power of the devil, we have absolutely no power. We have no control. I just want you guys to understand. I want us to understand who it is that we're facing, who it is that we're battling. As we go out each day, we need to think about who it is that we're fighting against. Who is this spiritual battle that we are going against? Back to verse 12 of Ephesians, if you turn back there. Ephesians 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not you versus me. Principalities. The structure gets power, so powerful. Then it says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I don't want to dwell on this one too long, but you think about some of the dark sins in this world. What terrible, awful sins there are committed against people. What terrible things people do, just murder people, just because they're passing down the street, because they wore the wrong color shoes. Just they wanted those brand new shoes they had. Just terrible sins, sins against vulnerable and innocent people. And they're the type that me, and I'm sure some of you, if you have any character about you, you want to go fight them yourself. You want to take care of them yourself. You want to, the darkness of this world, it just makes you want to go make it happen. And our enemy, he's the one that orders those things. He's the one that instructs those things. He's the one that tells those things to happen. The rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil's in charge of the darkest, most awful sins that happen to children and that happen to those who are most vulnerable. Satan's in charge of that. The last part of verse 12 says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wickedness is evil in thought and purpose, mental disregard for justice, righteousness, truth, honor, or virtue. Wickedness, evil in thought and purpose. Its whole purpose, its whole idea is evil. Use people to achieve power in order to do evil. That's what Satan does. He comes and he takes people of power and he influences them and many times he indwells them to do evil things. Those people in power to do evil things to innocent people. You think of in high places, you think of some of the most awful men who have ever lived. You think of Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden. Those spiritual wickedness in high places. And the devil, Satan, our enemy, is the reason, is the one who ordered them, who is in charge of that, is why they were so wicked. I hope that we'll go into our daily battle considering our enemy. I hope we'll go into the day not thinking that sin is just a game, not thinking that it's just not a big deal. It's not a major sin. It's not a major thing. I hope that we understand, and part of what Brother Buddy preached on Sunday night, is we can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. We cannot fight this spiritual enemy on our own. And Ephesians 6:12 helps us to understand. And if we look into it and we study it, it helps us to understand you have no ability of yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You will fail every time. You will fall apart and you will completely fall on your face because our enemy is that strong. Our enemy is that evil. Our enemy is that structured. The devil will win if you fight him one-on-one. The devil will win if you try and defeat him by yourself. If you try and get over that addiction, you will not win without God. If you try and have a good marriage, you will not have it without God. If you try to raise kids the right way, you will not do it without God. You can't do it on your own. We can't underestimate our enemy. We can't think that I can take off today. We can't think, I don't need my Bible reading today. I'm busy today. Because that enemy will take, and he'll take any fraction of an opportunity and strike just like that roaring lion. He waits till that weakest one is at its weakest point, and then he's got him, takes him out. Let's not underestimate our enemy. Let's not forget whose side we're on. Let's not forget who we have in our corner. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need a proper view of our enemy, but we also need a proper view of our enemy in relation to God. We need to look at who our enemy is and the strengths and everything that he has, but we also need to consider and think about who our God is. And sometimes you could read these verses and think, oh, he's so evil, he's so wicked. How could I ever possibly do it? Well, our God is greater. Where sin is great, grace is greater still. Proper view of the enemy in relation to God. Verse 12, let's go back there. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I didn't give you the definite principality, but it was one of the exciting things I found when I studied this. Principality is the idea, small state ruled by a monarch or by a prince who is a lesser rank than a king. So what a principality is, he just has a small little part. And he's so small, you can't even consider him a king. You would not even say that he was a king. And so Satan, being the prince and power of the air, he's not the king. He doesn't have the rank of king. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is in control. He's the prince and power, Satan is. But he's just a principality. He's that little bitty, just a little bitty piece of land. And of course, our God is the King, and he owns all things. So have a proper view of God. He's the king, not just a little prince, not just owning a little bit. Power. Mark chapter 9. Let's go back there. Mark chapter 9. We didn't finish this story, but let's finish it now. About how this man, he was thrown into the fire, thrown into the water, laying on the ground, foaming at the mouth. He had no control. He couldn't do anything about that. But Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, Jesus saith unto him, talking to his father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The power that God had compared to the devil's power, God has all power. God has all power. He is omnipotent. And the devil has power. We see in this story that he has very real power. He has real power to possess. He has real power to oppress. And he has the power to destroy your life if you let him. But if you put on the armor of God, if you have God in your life, if you're in church, if you read your Bible, if you're around the things of God and don't let those demonic influences come into your eyes and to your ears and be involved in your life at all, you'll have all power with you. You'll have all power on your side. All power makes any other power powerless. See, if you have all power versus any other power, that's powerless. That has no power. The power of all power is the greatest. And then darkness. Spiritual wickedness. The rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, like I was saying earlier, you guys know what I'm talking about. Just the wicked, evil things you want to take care of. But we have the promise and we have the encouragement of God's word that says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We have, no matter the darkness of the world, we don't need to take our own vengeance. We don't need to go out there and to blow up abortion clinics. We don't need to go out there and to do awful things to these people who are in darkness and who are living evil. Remember, it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting. That's not the spiritual battle. We have to understand, and we have to understand that the darkness can only be overcome by light. It's not more darkness that overcomes darkness. Darkness cannot overcome darkness. The only thing that can overcome darkness is light. And I haven't checked lately, but the last time I checked, light has never lost to darkness. You've never been in a dark room and turned on a light, and the darkness overcame the light. It never happens. That's not how it happens. Light always beats darkness. And we have a just, righteous God who will judge all darkness one day. So we don't have to worry about vengeance. We don't have to worry about the darkness. Then it says wickedness in high places. They're in some pretty high places. And it doesn't matter if you're in a terrible place, and praise the Lord for the United States of America that we don't have to be under a terrible dictator or some type of oppressive government, that we still have we the people and we can elect our leaders. But even if we did, had oppression on us, doesn't matter how high that wickedness gets, how high that place is, God is always the highest. God is always the king. God is always on his throne. He's never been not there, and he will always be there. There's no higher than the Most High. He's always sovereign. He's always in control of everything. Nothing gets by without his approval. Satan, we think about Job, and just the Job had so much afflictions, but Satan, every time he had to go to God. And every time in your life that tough things happen, remember, God's allowed it. It had to come across his desk first before anything in your life happened. high places. We have what we need to be successful. We have the armor of God. And in the rest of the verses there, we see the armor of God. I'm not going to preach on the whole armor of God. That would be too long. But we have what we need to be successful. We have to remember, listen, we're the better seed, right? We're the 2 seed and the devil's the 15 seed. We're in the better place. We have, because God is on our side, we're the better seed. We're the ones who are supposed to win. You are supposed to win the battles against the devil every single day. You're supposed to live a successful Christian life every single day. You're the 2 seed. You're the one who has the better opportunity. You are the one who is playing with the more talent. I hate to say it that way, but you've got God on your side. You're fighting with God, with God with you. The only way that we lose in the daily battles of life is to underestimate our enemy. Just like those basketball teams that go down and, oh, what happened? And you could almost hear the coaches, you know what, we didn't have a good practice, and we weren't focused like we needed to be. It all comes down to we underestimate our enemy. And we're going to have a battle every day. We're going to have the advantage because God's on our side. But if we don't consider the enemy that we're fighting, if we don't consider who it is that we're going against every day, and that we have no ability in and of ourselves to defeat him any day, then we're going to go down that day. We're going to lose that battle that day, and Satan's getting the victory that day. We have to have a proper view of our enemy if we're going to have a successful Christian life. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We typically don't have a musical invitation on Wednesday night, but we always have an invitation. I believe when God's word is preached and God speaks to your heart, we want to give you an opportunity to respond. How are you doing in your daily battle? How are you doing when the enemy comes? Have you underestimated him? Have you thought, I can make it today without God? I'll be okay today. According to God's word, you won't. You won't defeat him. You'll lose. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that speaks to us and helps us and guides and directs us. And thank you for the fact that we don't have to fight this battle on our own. Thank you, God, that although it can be kind of a scary thought, the enemy, how he has all this wickedness and he's evil. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God, may we remember that. May we be dependent upon you. May we not let our pride think that we don't need you any day. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.